I'm the most blessed because I got a chance to get involved in that heritage, and I married into a real blessing to be with a family that has given their lives generation after generation to serve the Lord, and it is really an unbelievable blessing. Just a quick update. Last time we had the mission conference, there was a war going on in Mexico in San Luis Potosí, where I spent a lot of time. No, if you remember, they're having shootouts right in the middle of the day in the streets. One day they shot 21 drug cartel guys in the middle of the day. They shot up the front of the university. They were chasing each other around the Glorieta shooting. It's two drug cartels fighting over territory, and the army and the federal police were in the middle shooting both directions, and it pretty well shut the place down for quite a while. We haven't had an open street shooting since maybe the end of the year, maybe middle of November, December. And I thought the thing had pretty well gone away completely, but just as I was coming up, we saw that there's in a report, the last 6 months in San Luis Potosí, there's been 167 executed people found out in the desert. But it's going on at night, and as long as they're killing each other, you know, I'll buy the bullets. But things have gotten much better. It's calmed down, and we praise the Lord for that. We haven't seen the actual violence as we had in the past. Susan mentioned something about I asked everyone to stand up that was saved, and then sat down if you're a first-generation Christian. And I've done that several times. We've had times, and it's been mentioned the other night, of great revivals when a lot of people get saved at a really short time, and it's just really something. But then there's a lot of times when it goes on, and it just seems like there's nothing happening and nothing. And that's when I like to do this, to go to a church that maybe feels like they've been, just nothing's happening. Man, why are we going out every day preaching and everything? And everybody that's saved, stand up. And then all you that are first generation, sit down. You've been saved by the gospel coming to you. You've broken the chain of condemnation, and you're the first generation. You got saved because you heard somebody preach in the street just recently, because these churches aren't very old. And everybody sits down. Everybody. Like I said, Susan was the owner out of a whole congregation of people. That's the fruit of the gospel in one generation. Mexico has been touched with the gospel, and it's such a blessing to see what God has done. Tonight I'd like to speak to you. I understand we had a message. I just got here, so I understand you had a message about being men or growing up, and so maybe we're going to get a repeat of that tonight. If the Bible only had the message of salvation, if it only had the 4 points to a sinner, that you're a sinner, that your sins have condemned you, that God sacrificed Himself that you might be saved, and by repenting and calling His name you could be saved. If that was the only message in the Bible, it would be a real thin book. You realize that? Like, this conference would be over last Sunday. But the majority of the God of this Bible, this book, the teaching of the Lord, is after we get saved. Our salvation is a starting point. Sad to say, most Christians see that as that's the end of the whole process and it's over, and here we sit.
Yeah. Amen.
There's a lot more going on. Salvation is compared to birth. It is the new birth. That indicates we're babes in Christ. And that takes nourishing. And that takes teaching. That takes maturing. That takes some life experiences that make you useful. Tonight I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11 through 18. This passage to me is the purpose that we have to fulfill. It's what God expects us to do, what He expects us to become, what He expects us to leave behind. it talks about the gifts that are given to men. But in the middle of that is something that I'd like to speak to you tonight. Let's read 11 through 18. Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of your heart. Two phrases. Last part of 13. Unto a perfect man. 14a, be no more children. What's the characteristic? What are the characteristics that define the difference between a child and a man? Between a silly young girl and a woman? What are the characteristics? What is it that makes the difference? Is it just the birth dates? If that's, you know that's not the case. How many 30-year-old little boys do you know? How many 30-year-old silly girls do you know? Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you've matured. It doesn't mean you've turned into an adult. It's not that you grow whiskers or you're now allowed to paint yourself. They think that grows them up. They strut around like they're all grown up. Right, Taylor? Gotta have fun with the kids. If I don't pick on Taylor, then Betsy will think that I'm being partial. So. Yeah, you've had enough. Some think it's because I got a driver's license. About 90% of the wrecks you have in your driving career will happen the first 5 years that you have your license. That just means you didn't grow up just because you got a license. You're still reckless and crazy and don't think, and you're a whole lot of things. I got to thinking, what is the real sign of maturity? What is this characteristics that make you an adult? The first thing I thought about is you begin to realize it's not all about me. It's not, the world isn't centered around me. I've got other people that depend on me. I got responsibilities. There's things that I need to do for someone else.
Amen.
I was driving through our little town. It's a little town, a little narrow street, cobblestone. You can't go and just, my old trucks are rattling and shaking and people are parked along the side and you can't get by them. It's almost a one-way street and then they park on it. And so I'm getting through, and this kid comes up in a beat-up old little pickup, honk, honk, beep, beep, get out of the way, and I finally get a spot and I get over, and he races by me and he says hello to me in an unnice way. And as he passes me on the back of his window, his old beat-up pickup, it says, Todo yo, which means it's all me. It's just me. I'm the great. He's going through his life thinking it's all about him.
All right. Yeah.
And a child has not learned that it's not all about him.
Right.
And they go through their lives wondering, how come everybody's not catering to me? And I realize that there's a basis for this. The day you were born, daddy, aunts and uncles, and all their friends lined up at the nursery window, tapping on the window trying to get you to goo-goo or do something. Right? And from that point on, it's all about me. I mean, they make a cake every year for me and they sing to me and make... Isn't it? Mommy and daddy go out to work and they make the money to bring me back clothes and they wash my... Everything's done for me. At what point do you find out it's not all about me? We have a whole nation of 30-year-old little kids that still think Amen. It's all about me.
Mercy, Lord. Amen.
Not interested in doing anything even for themselves, much right. less somebody else. There's responsibilities as you grow up.
Amen.
The things that you have to take care of. First for yourself, and then for others. The thing that really, really can't handle about the culture in Mexico is they all have their little king and their queen.
Yeah.
My reinita, mi rey. And these guys, these kids grow up in age and in size, but not in their mind and not in their character. And so you got 30-year-old macho men that's got to ask mommy permission to go to the meeting.
Yeah.
You've had it. You've had them say that, haven't you, Joe? You give a guy a Bible study for week after week and he's convinced and he gets saved and so he comes to the meeting. Oh, my mommy won't let me. He's 35 years old. You know? And if he's married, I don't know if my wife will let me. God expects us to grow up.
Yes.
Be no more as children. Take on the responsibilities of adulthood. Second thing I thought about is that you know someone's grown up when they understand value. Daddy, I want a new pair of tennis shoes. How much does it cost? $100. They're only $100, Daddy. $100? You know where how hard it takes to get $100? You guys that are parents, you know what it is. No, Daddy, it's just $100. Have the kid go out and mow lawn for a week and earn the $100. You'll think,
Amen.
I don't want to buy those tennis shoes. Yeah.
Amen.
When that $100 came with a bucket of sweat. When I was in had a young people's group, we had quite a few go in our church. And the first one, we decided we're going to have a camp out and it's going to take some money. And so the great idea was we're going to get the old folks to sponsor some of the kids. And so that idea got floated out and some of the old timers, you know, some of the ancient ones said, yeah, we'll sponsor too. And we'll sponsor. My dad came and said, no, we're not going to have no sponsoring. These kids are going to work if they want to go to have a camp out. And there are several farmers in our church. Says, which one of you farmers need stone pickers? So here's us, 60 of us young people, and we split up in these farms, and we chased this wagon across this plowed ground field, picking stones for 2 or 3 days, and earned enough to do our camp. We enjoyed that camp because we paid for it.
Amen.
We understood the value of going off for 3 days and having Amen. Fun. That's what we're lacking today.
Amen.
We don't understand what value is.
Right.
And it's not just money. What about the value of family?
Yeah.
We just talked about a heritage. Unimaginable that I would be a part of that type of a heritage. The value of that type of family? I got a whole list of people, a phone book of people I could call up. Say, I'm in trouble, I need help. And they drop everything and come. And a child doesn't value that. Big grown-up people don't value that.
Amen.
They're willing to tear apart their family. They're willing to turn their back on mom and dad. They're willing to offend everybody that cares for them.
Yeah.
They're still children. God says, be no more children.
Yeah.
Grow up and understand some values.
Yeah.
How come you have so many church hoppers? The church of the revolving door.
Amen.
Yeah. Isn't that the
Amen.
Christian church today?
Amen.
How come they can come in and out? Go, come and go and leave and get upset. And they don't value the church and what God has put in its place.
Amen.
You're going to get offended. If you don't, it just means you're perfect and we know you're not. This is a church is where you get corrected.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that you don't value, that you need to value is correction.
Amen.
You want to live your whole life wrong?
Yeah.
Right. Huh? Live your whole life in ignorance of something? In your whole life doing something that offends others? Somebody comes and says, brother, I'd like you to talk to you. You're being offensive with the way you be. And you get all offended and you march out the door. You say, thank you, brother. I don't want to be offensive. Value correction.
Yeah.
Don't be children and have to go off and cry and pout because somebody come to you and said, we got a problem here. Your actions, the way you are, need to be dealt with. Value teaching.
Amen.
Value wisdom.
Yeah. Amen.
And the child just throws it out. They don't want... They might come and say, Daddy, what do you think? And Daddy tells them what he thinks. He said, I don't like that, so he throws it out.
Yeah.
And goes his own way.
Guilty. Amen.
Bible says, buy the truth.
Amen.
Truth has a cost.
Amen.
Because it's valuable. Think of another thing. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yeah.
You can't depend on a kid. You know, son, why don't you go out there and pull all the weeds in that flower garden, and he's not going to do it. You know, girl, go up there and clean up your room, and she's not going to do it. They're not dependable. They're unstable. And that's a child. An adult gets some stability. Someone you can depend on. When things are rough, you can depend on them. When things aren't easy, you can say, they'll be there. You have so many kids that can't even finish out a school year. You have children that can't stay in a job, bounce from job to job to job. That's unstable. We got to come up with some vision for our lives and some goals to set. What about the church? How many unstable people have come and gone? You know, it's a pretty sad thing that if you've never worn out a chair at the meeting. I've talked to some people that. A guy one time, he was real proud, he wore out 3 lounge chairs in front of his television. This is my brand new chair. Yeah, I wore two more out. He really did. He told me that. I said, you wore out 2 chairs in front of the television? And the other chair he's worn out is in front of the dining room table. You know. Have you been here enough that you wore out a chair? I thank the Lord for some that I know have worn out a few meeting chairs.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for those faithful ones that have had to replace a chair at the meeting. Brother Willie Crosby carried his own chair. He carried his own chair. He had a little back trouble, and he said, I'm in so many meetings, I carry my own chair. The other day, we went down, and we were going to get chairs to take to the beach, and I said, I need to get a new meeting chair. And I sat in this one, and it leaned way back and got all comfortable, and I said, no, that ain't going to work. I have a real problem. See, we meet in the open air. And it's not so bad now. I'm not working. When I was working hard every day and going, I sat down there and the sun to shine in my face and it was out. The kids took turns jabbing me. And then when they had to go off to Sunday school, I was there flying on my own. So I can't have a lounge chair from the meeting. And I always sat in a straight back chair at the meeting. It's embarrassing, especially if you're preaching, especially if I'm preaching and I fall asleep, you know. I thank the Lord for some of you that have been so faithful over the years. There's some that have never missed an offering on my month. I don't deserve it. I hope there's some fruit that you can rejoice in heaven. But you've been here and you've worn out a chair in this place. You've been faithful to serve over and over in every situation. This place doesn't just get cleaned. It doesn't get the lights paid. It doesn't happen by accident.
Amen.
It's adults that have grown up and taken on maturity and taken on responsibility and made a difference for God's work. And when I asked that 100 people in that church in Mexico to stand up and say, those of you that are first generation Christians, they're the fruit that came out of this church.
Amen.
Michael maybe will tell you about it when he preaches Friday, whenever he does. If he doesn't, I will. We just had a men's meeting in Morelia. There was 80 to 100 men there, all preachers of the gospel. Men that have been saved, first-generation Christians. They have a regular ministry of going out in the street and preaching the gospel and having Bible studies. They're not invited to this meeting unless they do. And that's not all of them. The big church in León wasn't even present. Nearly 100 men that showed up for a day and a half of a conference that preached regularly, and they're first-generation Christians. They don't know a lot. They don't have all the doctrine and all the training you do. They absolutely have no heritage, Christian heritage. They have struggles with all the things that you can, more than you can possibly imagine, coming from a completely idolatrous situation, from a heathen and perverse situation, and yet they're out preaching the gospel because God touched their lives.
Praise God. Amen.
They're constant. They're consistent. They growed up. The fourth thing I thought about, that adult shows up to be useful. He shows up serious-minded. I want to be productive. I want to do something. The kids show up to play.
Yes.
Do they not?
Amen. Amen.
And we have a lot of big people showing up to the church meeting, uh-huh, and they don't have in their mind, I'm going to go be productive. Talks about these gifts that were given. These gifts are people. Yes. Given to the church, to the edifying, the building up. And yet these gifts don't study to show themselves approved. They don't perfect their gift. You know, you talk about these gifts were given, it sounds like you just automatically were a tremendous preacher. Any of these guys that you think might preach really well, you should have been there the first days. Yeah. It's pretty sad. It's when Linda was yelling, "Kiss it, brother." For those who don't know, that's keep it short, stupid. Why? Because they were pitiful. But he gave us a chance to learn. And those that applied themselves and matured and grew up can now come and touch and bless your heart. Be not as children. Brothers and sisters, it's time to grow up.
Amen. Yeah.
Because there's a responsibility and there's use, and we need to be useful. It always bothers me when somebody doesn't want to be useful.
Amen.
You know, they just don't, it doesn't seem to bother them that they accomplish nothing.
Amen.
They do nothing. They just take up space. We had this men's meeting. Has been going on for every 6 months. We have this men's meeting, and it's been quite a while now, several years. And we had a situation in the church, and Friday night it was my turn. I was asked to bring one of the messages on Friday night, and we had a very bad situation that just happened in the church, and it was pretty sensitive. And I came to rock the boat, I guess, and pretty serious. It was so that two of the men had brought their younger sons that were 12, 13 years old, and I went to them and I says, what I've got to talk about tonight is going to be pretty personal. It's going to be about some things maybe you don't want. I told them what it was kind of about. You might not want your sons there. And they said, no, that's fine. It's let them hear it. And I looked at the schedule. I was second, and the guy that was first had the reputation of the church clown. He literally prepared his messages to get the laugh. There was no seriousness in him. And it just wasn't the right way to precede what I had to say. I had to ask that he be moved. And I didn't say anything to him. They put him on Saturday, and sure enough, he got up and put on a comedy act in a show, I went to him afterwards and I said, you know why you were moved? He said, no, I don't care. I said, I know you don't care, but you want to know why? Because you're a clown. You didn't come serious. This is a serious thing.
Amen.
Men have taken off 2 days of work. Some of them have driven halfway across the state. God has something He wants to say, and we knew that you would be a clown. The brother took the help, and he's one of the more profitable preachers in the church. Time to grow up. It's time to know that we're in a serious business here. Oh, we can have fun. And you would probably be ashamed of some of your missionaries the way we have fun. But there's time to go to work. There's time that things need to be done. If we didn't take on, we as a church, you as supporters and givers and prayers and those that go, the seriousness, there wouldn't be those 25, 26 churches in Mexico with men and women that have had their lives transformed in one generation. Their children have an opportunity. We learned right away on the first church, we're preaching for the second generation. These guys are so laden with so many things in their past, they're going to be restricted, they're going to be hindered to really serve the Lord. We're working for the second generation to get a generation that start from the cradle being taught the verses of the Bible and learning morals and values, staying out of financial problems. Eight men that wanted to be a part of the church, and not one of them could put a checkbook in their name for the church because of their financial problems. Had to put it in the name of a woman. Because everybody's so tangled and messed up. We're not into this to play. This is serious business. This is the souls of men for all of eternity. Name something else more important. What's the purpose of your salvation? Just that you get to go? To give a place for God to give a gift. Each and every one of you have been given, that are saved, have been given a gift of God.
Amen.
Oh no, I don't have no gift. You haven't worked out your gift.
Amen.
You haven't perfected your gift. You haven't studied to prove yourself approved to use that gift. The presence of one person in that chair every Sunday is a blessing to this church.
Amen.
Just that much. And then you stand up in the open meeting, which is God-given, godly doctrine, and you give the blessing of that day. That's edifying. That's the purpose of the gifts.
Amen.
The church. The purpose of the church is to grow us all up.
Amen.
What does it say in verse 13? We all come unto the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man. That's the purpose for the church, to grow us up. Let's read 17 and 20 one more time, if we could. 4, 17 through 20. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of your hearts. Verse 17, the vanity of your minds. It's not all about us. This song is about you. What's that? You're so vain. This song is about you. The vanity of our minds. It's all about us. God's got to change that in us.
Amen.
We got to grow up out of that.
Amen.
We have responsibility. We have something we have to take care of. It's God-given. And we've been gifted to do it. He's given gifts to men. And He's put in the church who He saw fit. You're here for a purpose. To exercise that gift. Verse 18. Understandingly darkened. Ignorance goes back to value. Do you understand the values? Do you understand what's really important? what really has meaning? Is it that new pair of shoes that you got to have? Or is the eternal damnation of the majority of this world? Children don't understand the value. They don't understand the effort and the sweat and the investment and the sacrifice. They don't understand the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to grow up and understand those are the values. Verse 20 says, ye have not so learned Christ. That's not the example we have. That's not the goal we seek for. It's Jesus Christ and to be the perfect man as He was. In all reality, that's going to happen the day we enter eternity. But there's a reward. There's a tremendous reward to achieve as much as that is very possible in this life. Amen. And we talk about the crowns in heaven and all that. What about the saved souls? Amen. Because we strived to be as Christ. That's the true reward. To know that there's men and women, boys and girls that are saved for all eternity because we grew up. We put away childish things. Verse 16, by which every joint supplieth, the perfect man contributes. Are you contributing to this church? Are you contributing to the ministries that go out of this church? To the building up of the body of Christ. Amen.